Over the last little while, last several months especially, our world, we've experienced a great deal of shaking. Our country has been very, very divided, and especially this year with a presidential election coming up. The rhetoric is more extreme than it has been in recent memory. The security of our government is not something that we can really rest in. The virus has changed our world. It has shaken our security and safety and even in our health. It has caused some to be filled with anger and some to be filled with fear, which has led not to more love and grace and unity, but instead to more disunity and discouragement. The economy has changed drastically in just a few months. In March, I was talking to someone who was planning on this big family, dream family vacation for this summer. But now, because of unemployment issues and everything else that's been going on, they're struggling to pay their mortgage. Just a few months ago, for most of us, the comfort that we had in our financial situation was very different than it is right now. And the protests have been extreme, some for the good and some not so much. And instead of causing more understanding and unity, it actually seems that for various reasons, we are getting more divided. When we were in Wisconsin just a couple weeks ago, I saw this sign outside of a business that just, it made me laugh because it was just kind of perfect with the way that I was feeling. The sign read, "Is 2020 over yet?" This has been a difficult year for a lot of us. I would say all of us. Things that we usually find comfort and security in have been shaken. The things that we used to run to have been removed from us. Whether it's vacations or just being together, or even just going to our jobs, our world is changing. This country is changing. And that can be very uncomfortable to go through. With the uncertainty of school in the fall and all the kids have gone through over the last couple months, many have talked about how this is causing some emotional crisis inside of many children's hearts. Their foundations are being shaken. And as one psychiatrist put it, this could have a crushing effect on them for years to come. So how do we, in times like this, encourage young people, those who have little perspective, especially, to be able to put into kind of a category all that has been going on and all that's been happening around them? How do we encourage ourselves in times like this? When it seems as if the entire world, all that we used to trust in and rely upon, is falling apart around us. How do we stand up straight amidst all that's been happening and all that could come down the line? Well, there's a lot that we could talk about. But I want us today just to note a special message from Psalm 93. And this short psalm has one main point. Simply that no matter what else is going on upon this earth, God Almighty reigns. That He is and always will be seated upon His throne. And when we know God through Jesus Christ, then we have the ability to rest no matter what's going on around us. We can trust. We can endure. We can stand even when the world shakes beneath our feet. Because no matter what's causing it to shake, our God, the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who sent His Son for us, that God still reigns. I want us to read together Psalm 93. And then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waves, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would give us wisdom this morning as we look in your word. God, remind us that you are firmly seated on your throne, and that no natural disaster, no virus, no sickness, no economic struggle, no family issue can ever remove you from your seat. And help us as those who know you to fully understand that although our circumstances may toss and turn and change, that the one truth that you are on your throne always remains true, and that we can find great comfort in you in that. Give us grace and wisdom, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's dive through, and I want to make four points about God's reign. And the first one is that God's reign is secure from the first part of verse 1. It says, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord's reign is secure. Now here, right at the beginning, it says, the Lord reigns. And here we have the theme of the entire psalm. But there are two aspects of it that we need to make sure that we note. First, it is the Lord. Now notice that it's all in capital letters, meaning that the psalmist is not writing about some mysterious deity out there. He is talking about the known and personal creator God of the universe. And he speaks of him by name, Yahweh. All capital letters, Lord, is the way in which we identify for English readers that the personal name of God is being used, the name that God gave to Moses in Exodus. Now, there's no mistaking what God is being discussed here. It is not Buddha. It is not Allah. It is the only true God, the creator, the all-powerful God. It is this God alone who, which leads to our second aspect, reigns. This true God alone reigns. And the point here is the security of his reign. He is not threatened in any way by any other deity or power or strength or anything that may come or go. He alone reigns. As one theologian put it, the Lord reigns on high. Whatever turmoil and rebellion there may be beneath the clouds, the eternal King reigns above it all. Then the verse continues. It says, he, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Now notice two aspects here of the Lord's reigning. As one who reigns, he is robed. Now, oftentimes we clothe those who are reigning with crowns or with robes or with scepters or, you know, with shoes, with different clothing that we kind of think fits their attire or their position, I should say. Here it says that he is literally clothed in majesty. It's not that he surrounded himself with majestic things to make himself look good. I mean, part of the point of the Oval Office is to make the president seem intimidating and powerful. That's not what's happening with God. God himself, he wears majesty as we wear t-shirts. But not only does he wear majesty, but he is also armed with strength. Now, some translations have that he has girded himself with strength, which means that he's prepared himself with his strength. He doesn't simply have access to strength that he needs to kind of say, well, I see you're in trouble. Hold on. Let me go get some power or get some military or get some armies or get some whatever. He's saying, I got it right here. I'm ready. Always ready. He has armed himself with his omnipotence, the full extent of his eternal, unending, unlimited power. This is the God who reigns, the one who is robed in majesty and armed with strength, which means that he is a ruler who is not unfit for the throne on which he sits. In fact, he alone is fully equipped and fully worthy to sit upon this throne. In these unique times, we must remember and comfort ourselves and comfort others, especially children, with the fact that our God reigns secure no matter what. Next, we need to note that God's reign is not new. God's reign is not new. Verse 1 continues and it says, indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago, for you are from all eternity. So he says, indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Now, I'm not sure, but the author might be saying that the reason that the world is established and it's firm and it's secure is because of God's mighty control over it. Which is absolutely true. God didn't kind of set things off in his creation and then leave his creation by itself to continue going of its own inertia. The world is and continues to be because of God's power, because of God's control. So the author could simply be stressing that God Almighty, that Yahweh is the creator and sustainer of the world. That he is the one who keeps the world spinning, you could say. Now, that is very possibly what the author is trying to say. But I think that the author is not trying to say that as much as he's trying to draw the biggest possible comparison that he can. He's trying to make a comparison between the longevity of the world and the eternality of God's reign. When there's a presidential election in this country, people often can find peace. If their candidate's not elected, the one that they were hoping for, and oftentimes, unfortunately, we vilify the other opponent. So when the other opponent or the opponent takes the presidency, sometimes we can be filled with angst or fear, but we find comfort in the fact that, you know, in just 4 years, this person could be removed. At the very most, the president in this country, no matter how horrible they are, they will only be able to rule for 8 years, at the very most. Even in countries with kings and dictators, there is still comfort in knowing that they will die, that their rule cannot endure forever, that their reign will end. In our experiences, what endures? I mean, kings rise and fall. Presidents come and go. Families rise and fall. Gangs rise and fall. Nations rise and fall. Emperors rise and fall. Empires rise and fall. But through all of human history, this planet has endured. Throughout the rise and fall of all other powers, this planet has endured. And I think what the psalmist is trying to get at here with this comparison is just as the world has endured, just as the world is firm and secure through all of this changing, so the reign of God is even more so established, firm, and secure. In making this comparison, the author is emphasizing the fact that God's reign is more established, it is more firm, it is more secure than the most established, firm, and secure thing that he knew of, the world. Then it says in verse 2, where he really kind of pulls this comparison out, and he says, your throne was established long ago, you are from eternity. Notice that our author here, he ties together the reign of God on his throne to God's being. In other words, he's making the point that God didn't have to fight to become King of Kings. He has always been the King of Kings. As long as he has been, he has reigned. And since he is eternal in nature and in being, he has reigned securely for all eternity. This means that as long as God has lived, he has reigned. This is such a blessing for the children of God, for God alone is eternal. God alone has never had a beginning and will never have an end, and he is the eternal I am. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Let us rejoice in knowing that although kings may come and go, that kingdoms may rise and fall, leaders and laws may come and go, what a comfort it is in knowing that our God reigns and that his reign is not something new. It's not something that's constantly going to change, but it is more established. It is more firm. It is more secure than anything else in all creation, even more established and secure and firm than creation itself. Let us take great comfort for ourselves and let us share it with the young that our God's reign is not new and cannot be shaken. Which leads us to the third point, that God's reign cannot be threatened. That God's reign cannot be threatened. In verses 3 and 4, it says this: "The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty." Now, there are two ways that people have understood these verses. The first is that the psalmist is saying that the nature is powerful, that just being out on the water shows mankind its lack of power and control. I mean, talk to someone who had a house on Lake Michigan, for example, on the beach last summer, but now is dealing with the water knocking on their front door. Or talk to someone living around Midland of the power of water. We don't have to consider things like Katrina to know that the waters, that the nature has great, great power. Now, the other way of understanding this is that the psalmist is using the seas as a way of speaking of people. People are often, especially those who do not know God, as a sea. Now, either way, the point in my mind is the same. It's that no matter the power, whether it's the power of the wind and the waves, or it's the power of mankind rebelling against God and pushing God to change, either way, God's reign cannot be threatened. There is no power that holds the ability to threaten God's reign. There is no political movement, there is no idea, there is no vote on God's reign. It cannot be threatened. We can try to challenge it, but we will never be able to raise our voices high enough to mean anything. No economy is enough. No army or navy is enough. No iceberg or flood or tornado is enough to sink or shipwreck the reign of God. No idea or rebellion is strong enough to shake or threaten in any way the reign of God. For God is always mightier. Listen again to verses 3 and 4. It says, "The seas have lifted up the Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves." Notice this lifting up. It's either speaking of the rebellion of mankind against God and how they're raising their voices and doing their best and fighting as hard as they can, or it's just the powerful forces of nature rising up and seeking to take over what God created. And then it says, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." It's emphasizing this. You want to compare him to something? Well, no matter what you're comparing him with, he's mightier. For he alone is truly mighty. Notice that the psalmist doesn't here deal with arguing with the waves or the waters or with whatever they may represent. Indeed, he doesn't waste his breath talking to waves or to foolish men. Here he reminds himself and us that no matter the power that's seeking to overthrow God or threaten his reign, that God cannot be moved from the throne. For his reign is beyond threatening. For his reign is always mightier. What a comfort that is to those of us who know the Lord, that his throne is never in danger of being undone. And if he is still on the throne, then no matter the rebellion, no matter the storm, no matter the trial that we're going through, no matter the difficulty, no matter the angst inside of our own hearts, that our own hearts, our own experiences cannot remove God from the throne. That we can stand firm in knowing that the King is still seated on the throne, that he is still in control of his creation, that he still sees and can help, that he still saves, that he is still sovereign. What a comfort this is for our hearts to rest securely in the midst of these storms and these trials and these raging of peoples against our God. And this is the same message that we should tell the young and tell children, that our God's reign cannot be threatened. It doesn't matter if our faith is outlawed. It doesn't matter if Bibles are burned. God will succeed. He has won the day. And it can't be changed. It can't be undone. He alone sits on the throne. That leads us to our last point, which is simply that God's reign is eternally holy. Or another way of saying that is that God's reign is eternally pure. Verse 5 says, "Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days." The psalmist says, "Your statutes stand firm." Now, the term statutes points to God's truth, God's word, which he says is firm. In other words, it doesn't move, it doesn't sway, it doesn't change over time. Let me paraphrase an old theologian. He says, just as the rocks in the depths of the ocean remain unmoved by the chaos and storms over the surface of the seas, so God's truth remains unmoved by the storms and waves of man's opinions and theories. Our understanding of the world and our movements and our changes and our cultures and our minds do not change in any way, shape, or form God's standard. Does not change what is right and what is wrong. God's word, God's truth, God's statutes stand firm and can never and will never fall, for they are firm. Forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." We cannot change God. God alone is forever unchanging, and his word, his character, his being cannot be anything but firm. And this is our joy. If God loves us in Christ today, then he will do so forevermore. If God has shown us grace today, then he will also give us the grace needed for every future day after this. Our God does not change with shifting shades. Our God does not give his love one day and then remove it the next. Our God is always in control. God's reign is eternal. And that is a wonderful thing, but it gets even better. Because you could have someone reigning for a really long time who's not good. But the Almighty God is holy. His reign is not only eternal, but it's also holy. It's also pure. The psalmist says, holiness adorns your house for endless days. God is not like us humans. He cannot be bribed, and he will not pervert or ignore justice. He will be good forevermore. He will be right forevermore. There is no tapestry, no painting, no sculpture, no artwork that is more fitting in God's house than holiness. This is the point of the psalmist. Holiness adorns your house. Your house is decorated with holiness. God is holy, and thus he surrounds himself with holy things, pure things, things that he has made pure. This is the joy of all the redeemed, that our God is good and that our God is holy, that our God is the judge of the world and he will judge sin as it deserves to be judged, that every sin will be paid for in full, either by the sinner going to hell and paying for it for eternity as they deserve, or by Jesus fully paying the price on the cross. Every single sin will be paid for. For our God is holy. Our God is a just God. And he encircles himself with holy things, with his holiness. No one can escape his judgments, for they are eternal, they never change, and they are always holy. God's word is always good, it's always true. Sometimes we wrestle with that because we think, well, you know, maybe in our circumstance, maybe obeying God isn't the best thing to do. No, no, no. It's always the best thing to do. Because his word is sure, it's steadfast, it can't be changed, and it's always good. It's always holy, it's always true. Friends, although sometimes it can seem like nothing is solid and firm around us, although it can seem like things are in a constant state of flux beneath our feet, let me remind you that our God reigns, that he alone sits enthroned in heaven, and that nothing, nothing can move him. For our God's reign is secure. It is secure. No matter what may come, no matter what trials we may face, our God, his reign is secure. And his reign is not new. It is not something that has just happened. It is not something that he would, it's not that he didn't see what was coming down the line. It's not that he didn't know and prepare for us the grace needed for today. God's reign is secure. God's reign is not new. And God's reign cannot be threatened. Nothing will overthrow him. It doesn't matter how much other religions may grow. It doesn't matter how many people may rebel and push against Jesus. God's reign cannot be threatened. He will build his church, and the gates of hell cannot overcome it. God's reign is secure. God's reign is not new. God's reign cannot be threatened. And God's reign is eternally holy. God's word stands sure. The gospel is always gorgeous and beautiful to hear. And the life of God, walking in obedience to God, our God, is always best. Always. And in light of the fact that our God adorns himself with holiness, surrounds himself with holiness, so we, by the grace that God gives us, by faith in Jesus Christ, should seek to live holy lives. Because he is holy, and he has called us to be holy. And so let us find our comfort in our God's reign. Let this be the message that we share with our children over and over again as we wake up and as we go to sleep, that our God is on the throne. Don't be discouraged. Don't be worried. Don't be concerned. Trust God. for our God is still on the throne. Let us proclaim this as a hope to the lost. And let us whisper it to each other so that we may never forget that no matter what happens around us, no matter where this world may go, no matter what people may cry out for, no matter what things may shake and move, that if we stand upon Jesus, that we can never be shaken and we can never fall. For our God alone reigns. Keep praying for each other. Keep proclaiming to the lost. Keep instructing the young. And keep holding to the truth. Let's pray. God, give us wisdom. Wisdom to trust that your word is good and pure and true. Give us wisdom to know that even though there's shifting sands all around us, that we need to place our faith and our trust in Christ and Christ alone. And that if we do, we will never be shaken and we will never fall. Give us grace, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.